have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Press into Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow. Well, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you. Welcome tonight to another take of Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., and I'm excited to be with you on tonight. I need you to tell your friends, your loved ones, your neighbors, that Making Marriage Meaningful is on the air. And we are excited tonight about the discussion that we are going to have. We are excited about what we shall be sharing. So I want you to prepare yourself for what we are about to share with you. Now, please let me make this disclaimer. I do not claim to be a relationship expert. I will not tell you that I am a relationship expert. I have just been through some things in life and some things being in and out of relationships and in marriages. And you might be saying, well, what do you have to tell us? Well, I can tell you some pitfalls. I can tell you of some things that probably weren't some wise decisions, and I can help you from not. I can help you not to be naive when it comes to relationships. So that just may help you to have a better relationship and a longer lasting relationship. Also, I'd like to make this disclaimer that this conversation tonight is going to be extremely real, and I want to brace you now. It's nothing going to be fictitious or made up. It's going to be raw because we're going to deal with stuff in marriage, and you can't talk about marriage without talking about real raw stuff. Finally, it will be relevant. You'll be able to find something that you can make use of. So go on and get your mate. Go on and get your person that you're thinking about marrying, your fiance, or even if you're divorced and you're considering remarriage, but you're in a current relationship now, get your partner. I want you to listen in tonight if you can. It'd be all right if you join in because you might want to join the conversation. That number is 646-564-9842. Again, 646-564-9842. So before we go any further, I want to see who's joining us tonight. So callers who are here, those who are on the panel who are here, please speak up. Let me know you are here. Let me know you are here.
I'm here.
That's Apostle Fee. God bless you.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Otis and Teresa Gabriel.
God bless you both. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate you. Somebody. Ooh. I thought we had a pianist for a moment. I thought we had a pianist. Who else is here tonight?
And Billy Gabriel.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Who else is joining us?
This is Chuck.
Yeah, we got Brother Chuck tonight. God bless you, Brother Chuck. Hey, God bless you. Anyone else that's going to join us tonight, let me know now. Come on, talk to me. Who else is going to join us tonight?
This is Kimmy Kim.
Dr. Kimmy Kim, God bless you. I'm wondering, Dr. Kimmy, how you doing? How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm grateful. I'm grateful. So glad to hear your voice and praying that all is well. Amen. Is there anyone else here before we get going? Anyone else here? I don't want to miss anybody. All right.
Four are here as well.
Is who? Who?
My parents, Pastor and Elder Moore.
Good evening.
Pastor and Elder Moore, God bless you. Pastor and Elder Moore, we pray that all is well with you. Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus. That means somebody got to behave themselves tonight because we got some people on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, Dr. Kimmy, won't you do me a favor tonight because I know you're going to put yourself on mute and I ain't going to hear much from you. So won't you open us up tonight in a word of prayer? Dr. Kimmy. See what I mean? You got to take yourself off of mute already.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm here. I'm sorry.
Lead us in a word of prayer, please.
Yes.
Lead us in a word of prayer.
Sure. I can do that. Father God, thank you once again for another good time with Making Marriage Meaningful, Father God. Let this be a great discussion on marriage, because we know that you design marriages. And Father, we thank you so much for Apostle Irvin Whitlow's vision. Thank you for his dedication, his passion for this subject. So as we continue on, learning from each other and gleaning from each other, decrease us and put more of your wisdom, your ways, your scriptures, and we will forever give you praise and honor. And we make these wonderful requests in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right. I want to get back into this scripture that we've been in for the past couple of weeks, because the Lord just keeps sharing things with me, and I believe it's essential to a healthy marriage. And we're going to talk about something very dear to me tonight. Well, I don't know if it's dear to me, but coming from the scripture is going to be very important. Okay. We're back again in Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, A-L-L, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. The word of God for the people of God. And we've been talking about honoring marriage. We've been talking about honoring marriage. One of the things we talked about is handling disconnects. And in talking about handling disconnects, we talked about how we need to communicate better to understand one another better, which is very crucial into having a happy and healthy marriage that does not interrupt the flow of the peace of the home or any other area of the marriage. But what I want to do tonight is I want to go this direction. When we talk about marriage is honorable and all, and we're honoring marriage, the Bible says the bed is undefiled. This is what I want to talk about, and some of you are going to have to probably pray for me, because this is where I'm going. But I would like to talk about when the sex sucks. That's right, when the sex sucks, meaning it has become so repetitious. It has become so predictable that there is no life in it. It's boring. It's broken. It sucks. Doing the same thing. One peck here, two pecks there. And then, you know, wiggy, and it's all done. When sex sucks, nothing is enticing anymore. When I said it, when nothing about it makes you want to do it, you'd rather just roll over and go to sleep because it sucks. That's what I want to talk about tonight, when sex sucks. I mean, you're married. You're supposed to be able to explore one another's body, but then we have this one who's extremely freaky, and that one who's extremely shy, and they're trying to come together to have good hanky-panky, and it's a bona fide mess because it sucks. I know nobody doesn't like that word, but I told you that this is going to be real, real and raw tonight. But this is something that somebody is dealing with, and they are tired, and they are frustrated, and their hormones are raging. They haven't had a release in God knows how long. Somebody hasn't been touched in God knows how long, because it's boring. And I've discovered that if it's boring, then nobody wants to do it. If it's broken, nobody wants to fix it. And so therefore, we have people who are walking around as mean as they can cotton pick and be, because they ain't had none. They done moved to the Catholic faith. They have become nuns. They have had none. Now they don't want none, because it seems like they can't get none, because sex sucks. But we want to honor marriage. So let's talk about this. When the sex sucks, when it's boring, when it's broken. Who wants to tackle that?
Put me in, Coach.
Okay, come on in.
First of all, lift your dirty hand.
My hands ain't dirty.
There
I ain't touched nobody dirty lately.
Your hands is dirty, but we're going to deal with this on tonight. So you said something right there, sir. Now, let me go ahead and break that on down. You said something. because what you said was when you just ignore it, store it, and don't pour it. Where Brother Chuck at? Because he usually be on this stuff, making me laugh. But he, I ain't heard
of it. I don't know. You don't want to bring Brother Chuck in this early.
Hey, bro. Oh, I don't want to put you in early yet. Okay, bro. I
don't bring me. I don't want to be put on mute. Because this baby dropped the mic.
Okay. Well, let me tackle it.
But
here's the thing.
I have something to say.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I don't think that that's healthy. I really don't. I don't think that that's it. That should be, if there's an issue with her or him, I think it needs to be discussed then. Only because I'm going to tell you like this. Lord, I'm stuttering because I got my parents here, Jesus. If your spouse is not pleasing you sexually, that's a conversation that needs to be had, whether it hurts his or her feelings. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to be sleeping with a dead man or a dead woman. That you don't want to do that.
Amen.
So, Lord, I'm getting some. I'm take up the collection in a few minutes. But you that's a conversation that needs to be had. All jokes aside, seriousness, because that's like you said it last week, Apostle. That's just like a 40 quart pot of water boiling, dropping one spaghetti noodle in there. Ain't no feeling. Now I'm gonna lift my dirty hand.
I feel my hip coming on.
Tag you it. Oh, he ain't ready to jump in yet. Brother Chuck, get it.
Yeah, man. I said I feel my hip coming on. Go and preach, sister.
I'm just saying that's embarrassing for you not to be able to tell your spouse, "Babe, look, you just ain't, you ain't popping it. You ain't touching nothing. You ain't touching nothing. All we doing is really bumping up, because that's all it is. I don't feel nothing." But can you tell your spouse that, though? I need deliverance. Help me out.
You bringing it, sisters. Keep on bringing it. Somebody needs to hear you.
I see that. I ain't saying you either. I'm just saying. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. But, ladies and gentlemen, when you have that conversation, you have to be mindful and careful of the verbiage that you use, because you can demasculate your husband, and you can really make him feel. Yeah, you can really hurt his feelings, and that's not a good thing. And then that's for the woman. For the men, you have to be very careful of how you tell her, because sometimes you can shut her down to where you ain't going to get none for real. She really going to be a nun. Okay, I'll release the mic.
Somebody else talk to me. Come on, talk to me. Let's talk about this. Let's bust this wide open.
All right. This is Brother Otis. And I would like to respond to what you were saying about, like, over a period of years with your partner, there are going to be some events like eating meals together, going out to certain places that are going to be repetitious. It's not going to be as exciting as it was the first time. Now, it is up to the couple, both as a dual responsibility here, is to be aware of what your partner likes. Now, if you are married to this individual, then you must realize that sex is not an isolated event. as when you were dating, sometimes you would know, I'm going out with him on Wednesday night, and he told me that he had already made motel reservations, so you know what's going to take place. Or you go down, and the women would buy some extra sexy underwear for the occasion. The gentleman would put on some shave lotion and some real nice-looking underwear for the occasion. But you can't, you will not do that when you're married every time that you're getting ready to have sex. Not that it is less satisfying than it was, or not the fact that it's boring, but there will be repetitious activities that the couple takes pride in. Now, when I say it's not an isolated event, marriage, sex, and foreplay go together. It's not like you go through all day, it's okay, it's 11 o'clock, it's time to have sex. There's something called foreplay that we realize, we men are going to realize, that women like to engage in. And what they like to do is to hear things. If you think they're looking good, tell them. If she's smelling good, say it. If there's something about what she does during the day, let her know. And touching. If we are men should not wait until 11 o'clock on Wednesday night to touch our wives. We have access to all that loveliness, soft, smooth bodies. It's available to us at all times. So if we're close to it, touch it and say how much you appreciate it, how much you enjoy looking at it. Then sex would just be a continuation of the love that you share for your partner once you get into bed at night or whenever you feel like it. Remember, you have access at all times. And I was listening to your title, and you said, what happens when the sex sucks? And the only sucking that should be done during a marital situation is when the gentleman has his lips on her nipple. It's when they begin to nibble a nipple, say that sucks. And that should be the only thing that sucks with sex in marriage.
I hear you there, Brother Gabriel. I hear you, sir. Thank you so much. Come on, let's hear from some of you others. Come on, talk to me here. Dr. Kimmy, you're quiet. I want to hear you talk to me tonight. Come on, what do you think about this, when sex sucks? Come on, talk to me. Take yourself off of mute. I need to hear you.
You know she's gone.
You know that's probably the truth. What do you want to say, Brother Chuck?
When it's that way, I'm sorry. When it's that way, that's why you end it for the long run. You have to find activities that you both enjoy and reunite it. The only way it can suck is when both parties excited. I mean, there are times when you no longer can't perform because of the age, but, you know, they do have different medications out there now, so you can go as long as you want if you are in good health. So I really believe that when that is a challenge, you know, sometimes you may need to reunite and maybe revisit or go to a doctor to see if there is something that they can do. And, you know, if that's the case where it's permanently gone, that's why the Bible says that you go through the sickness and health and promises that you made to one another. So you learn another way to be intimate. You know, it could be holding hands. I mean, but if the sex is terrible, if the sex is terrible, then, yeah, you guys have to rekindle the relationship.
Talk to me, Brother Chuck. Come on, Brother Chuck.
Okay, but when I was a child, I had sex. But when I became a man, I learned to make love. And I dropped the mic.
Oh, you went hard right there, bro. You went hard right there, bro.
You know what? Oh. You know what? Lord have mercy. He just did it just like that. I mean, but let's look at this. Wait a minute. Come on, Brother Billy. Come on, Reverend Billy. You're not saying anything. What's going on? I know you got something to say about it.
Yes, I'm listening because I have a lot to say, especially with that title. You know, for the past several weeks, we have been pitter-patting around this particular subject. And as we were tiptoeing around it, it seemed to have had a lot of rebuttals against this type thing. And now we are on the subject, and it seems to live up. And I'm glad to hear this because it is, as my brother mentioned a little earlier, repetitious behavior, it becomes repetitious and boring. And all too often, and if the couple brings something new to the bedroom, sometimes that breeds strife, and maybe not strife, but questioning. Where you learn that? Who told you how to do that? Why are you doing this? It becomes a questionnaire. We have brought up the films that we call, that we have been labeled as pornographic and bad. And sometimes I remember when I first came to this area, for example, when they start showing these type film on the movie screen, they call them training film, so to speak. That's actually what they call it. And then all of a sudden they progress, and now they call it pornography, which I understand, and graphic and demeaning things. But all too often, if we bring something new to the bedroom, if you have not communicated with your spouse or have not shared openly what you like or don't like, then that becomes a radical. Oh, I just thought about this. When I was here's something very honestly. When I was in the military, I worked with the psychologist and the doctors. That was my job. And I can remember, this is one, a couple came into the office for marital, for consultation with the psychologist, social worker. And it was discovered that this gentleman, even though he loved his wife, but he had this desire to go downtown to deal with the German social workers, female social workers, street workers, that's what I call them, social workers. And what he was going downtown to do, because he liked oral sex. Okay? Now, the doctor, I was there taking notes, asked him, what about his wife, your wife? Why don't you do that with her? And he said something like this, oh, no, she will probably have a fit. I don't think she would like that. And a few weeks later, maybe a week later, we had both of them in the office. And that question was asked, I'm skipping, of the wife. What does she think about oral sex? She said, I have always wondered what it's like, but my husband never tried that with me. In other words, all the time she wanted that, but he had put her on such a pedestal, not understanding or not communicating with her or sharing her needs or her wants or her desires. And that became catastrophic because if you don't communicate and share and talk to one another, that can make it suck. And that is exactly what happened there. But at the end, once he learned that she likes that, what was indirect in that, and he nervously tried to do it in such a way with keeping her in a high esteem, still, you know, that kind of a way, because he had put her on such a high pedestal that he could not really communicate or relate with her. And that was a marriage of, how can you say it? He would just be a nice guy doing it, but all the time she was bored. I don't want to say all the time, but that she had the idea of what she wanted. And he was downtown doing with the German girls. That's my statement right there.
Okay. I think something is important when it comes to this. I think that communication is really key. I think that it's important that he talks to her about what he feels is missing, and she talks to him about what she feels is missing. But my question is, could it be that sex sucks because she doesn't light his fire anymore, or maybe because he doesn't have let me say it this way. Could it be that he doesn't light her fire, and could it be that her lighting fluid doesn't work?
Could
that be the case? He doesn't light, she doesn't light his fire, her lighting fluid doesn't work. So therefore, there's nothing, you know, that's making it want to work or go. See, because I think sometimes, and this, I could be wrong, Sometimes the issue is that one, maybe attraction is one issue, because who I was attracted to maybe 15, 20 years ago, over the course of time, the attraction has dwindled, maybe because of different issues, or maybe it's such a stressful issue that it's hard to perform. I mean, there are a number of things that could be the case. So let's just consider that. Could it be that her lighting fluid don't work and he doesn't light her fire?
I can say that. I can agree with that wholeheartedly. We have expressed that as well. Up on the initial marriage, I think she just brought up when I was young, etc. Every 4 or 5 years, change. There was time you could run 100 yards in 10 seconds. Then there's a couple more years later, it dwindles. And every year, your body changes. You become a routine type thing. But once you talk about the lighter and the fire, and all too often, that lighter, the fluid gets very low as time passes. And if you're not doing anything to refuel or to ignite that fire in any formal way, rather than doing the routine thing, then of course the fire is going to go out and start smoldering. And that's why it's essential to bring new ideas and techniques into the room. And you remember last week we thought it was a joke and thought it was really terrible to bring Bob into the room, that the battery-operated buddy. And some thought it was really bad, but that there are women who thrive, thrive and really like Bob, and the man should also help with Bob. And that is some of the things, bringing fire again into their marriages, igniting the fire, they're keeping things going. And we mentioned the physicalness. Those of us who might have had prostate cancer, diabetes, and things of that nature, that causes ED. However, there are medical areas and such, medical and physical and social ways making love with one another rather than a love affair that way. But you have to bring the fire. You have to share it with one another to make it work. A mutual agreement in how we are responding to our deficiency, the man. But if the lady is getting bored and not helping to enhance his ego, yes, it's going to suck. It's going to go out. That's my point. You remember when we were young, we used to call this thing doing the nasty. We had put a dirty tone on having sex. Oh, they doing the nasty. But there's nothing about sex unless you refuse to take a bath. But that's my intake, our input.
Okay. Anyone else?
Well, I was just saying, kind of in summary, I think that sex should complement a relationship rather than be the primary purpose for a relationship. And when sex becomes the primary purpose, and I think the emphasis is placed so highly upon it, I think we lose the value of the relationship. It's just like eating banana pudding before a meal. I think that it should complement it rather than, again, I said, be the primary purpose.
Well, then my question would become, why get married if that's not going to be a major part?
I would suggest that don't get married if that is a major part. Let me repeat. I think I said it's a compliment because there are situations where it is not feasible or possible to perform. And it could be from a prior accident. It could be from a whole series of issues. But I think love transcends sex. And if it doesn't, then I think we need to go back to the drawing board.
I hear you, Brother Chuck. I hear you. Anyone else?
Well,
yes,
this is Alicia, and I just wanted to say a couple of things. I agree with the comment that there's more to marriage than sex. Intimacy. There's other things that you can do to become intimate with your partner. They have romantic exercises that you can do with your spouse to help arouse and start stimulation. There are also other things that are on the market for those who may have ED or she may have gone through menopause. I know there's things like L-arginine. You can buy that on Amazon. It helps improve circulation in that area for the male, and it helps him to be able to perform. There's things out on the market for the female to help keep her lubricated. We are all adults here, so there are things that can be bought. And as far as her fire not lighting his fire not lighting her fire, all of that takes work. You have to put the work in, because when you got married, you said until death do us part. Good times, bad times, you know, health, you know, sickness and in health. So at the end of the day, you have to decide, are you willing to put in the work to rekindle that fire that you once had for that person that you had 15, 20 years ago? Because it doesn't just die suddenly, it dies slowly. It dies slowly. So there's an old saying, you know, if you want your grass to stay green, water it. Introduce new things to your relationship. I heard someone say, Bob. Well, there's a new device. Well, it's been out a couple of years. It's called a rose. Reintroduce that into the relationship, because guess what? that thing will probably help enhance the relationship. There's different things that you can do to cause your partner to respond, because at the end of the day, what you can get from someone else, you can get at home. You just have to put the work in to make it work. It's just that a lot of people don't want to put the work in because they say they want something new. That's all I have to say.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes when the fire, hello? I remember as a kid, when we would start a fire, if the fire was kind of going out, it wouldn't start, we would kind of blow on it. And that would sort of keep the flames going, you know, would get them started. So sometimes you have to do more than what you plan to do to accomplish your objective.
Okay. Are you about to say something, Brother Otis?
Yes, I like the variety of solutions and the comments that we're hearing. And what happened is, many times, the word attraction came up a few times, and it's not that a person is not really attracted to his or her spouse. It's that there are many times some unresolved issues that a person still has in mind, and that sort of reduces the excitement that the person once had for the spouse. Sometimes an individual is harboring some low-level resentment for maybe some unforgettable infidelities. And I've heard women say that they just can't imagine, you know, it hurts their heart to know how their husband makes love, and just imagining him doing the same thing to another woman, even though she has said, you know, 5 years ago that, yes, I'll forgive you for it. But that was mostly for the kids, because I didn't want to leave and create a bigger problem than the problem of infidelity. Now we have separation issues, and sometimes there are problems that they both are thinking about when they're together. In one situation, was they were having some serious financial problems, and then right in the middle of making love, you know, my man had a power failure, and so she thought something was wrong with her, but it wasn't. It's just that he was overpowered over a period of years, and he was thinking about what he's going to do tomorrow and couldn't concentrate on making love to his wife. And I like the part about the love. If there is cuddling, nice, positive, romantic communication, embracing in bed without even having sex with one another, if it leads to sex, that's good. But a nice embrace also, it speaks volumes for how they feel about one another. And yes, there are many things right now that can assist individuals into having sex. For men, there is the chemically assisted erection that comes in the form of pills and other devices that can help out. If one doesn't work, they can try another one. And there's all types of lubricants that the man can apply to make the activity more enjoyable, make it easier, on both partners, but it seemed like over a period of time, this situation moved from the physical to the physical and the mental. And then it begins to get emotional. So when you put those together in the marriage, you put those together, you attract it physically to, this is from the man's point of view, to the wife, cares about her mentally, you want to please her, and you also, you know, you want to please her and let her know that she is satisfied and emotional. It's always, remember, about the emotions. And that is when the cuddling just comes in. You have cuddling, but it's not like that we're going to have sex, so I'm going to hug you for a while. It's just cuddle anytime you feel like it. Just wrap your arm around her and let her go, you know, after that. So those are marriage. Sex is great in marriage because it's just part of the total activities that you are participating in during the day.
Now, here's my thing, and I'm listening to you, and I'm hearing what everybody's saying, but let's go here. Even if there are substances that can help with the organs in the body, what difference does it make if it's still going to be predictable? I mean, if you're going to do the same thing you've been doing for the past 20-something years, you know, you're gonna foreplay and you do it the same way. You do it for 4 minutes, right? Then after you do it, you know, you got to stop, use the bathroom, you go wash, I hope, I pray. Then you get back in the bed, you know, you kiss again and you want him to, well, it's your turn to get on top. No, it's your turn to get on top. Well, won't you do this? Well, I'm too tired. I mean, at the end of the day, the objective is to bring back the spice. The objective is to bring back something so that it's no longer boring, so that it's no longer broken, but that it is something desired. It is a terrible thing. Watch this. It is a terrible thing to have a mate and not desire that mate. I mean, that's a bad issue as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, because he looks at her and granted, over the years, she done put on a pound or two and got a couple of scratches here and there and stretch marks here and there, and so now she don't look like she used to look. And then him, on the other hand, you know, he used to swing low and swing chariot. Now he's like a high rider, you know. And so now we've got these issues where she's bored because she needs Bob. He's bored because she ain't doing the job. So unfortunately, now he got to use his own hand. I mean, it's boring, people. It's boring. What do we do to wake it up? Wait, that's all it is. I'm just curious.
I'm hollering. You just made me holler. And I ain't get my dollar. Please cash at me four quarters. Thank you now. Okay, so let me address this. Right, but let me address this. I would like to address this if I may. Now, I heard mention different electronics, different lubricants, different this, different that. Like the young lady said, I didn't catch her name, and I do apologize for that. She says that there's different things that you can purchase over the counter through your novelty stores, et cetera, et cetera. Here's the thing. We talked about the uninterested part of sex. We talked about the interested part of sex. We talked about the cuddling, the kissing, the caressing, all of that. When all of that is being done, and like you just said, Apostle Whitlow, it's still, you get on top. No, you get on top. Okay, well, you've been over. No, you've been over. Well, you can't bend no man over, I'm sorry. But you do this. No, I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. Where is the compromising coming from?
But if you're getting on top of somebody and you, it's a limp noodle, what, that's where it's coming from. I do believe that sex needs to be discussed. It needs to be, okay, well, you know, they said the average is about five. I say, prove me wrong, because that ain't true. You've got to, it's got to be both desiring. Forget all that other crap. The desire to want each other. We've been talking about that for the past couple of months. When the flame is going out, how to reflame it, how to light the candle again. Now we're talking about what's sucking and ain't bucking. Where is the coming together on this? It ain't always what she want. It ain't always what he want. It's what we want. Why we can't do this together? Again, somebody said tonight that if there's an issue, you go to the doctor. What if you can't get him to go to the doctor? Then what do? You can't buy all that stuff and expect for it to be a remedy. That's not how it works. Because sometimes the problem is deeper. And who wants to jump in the bed and you thinking about work while you making love to your husband or making love to your wife? You ain't supposed to have nothing on your mind but you and him. So why would you have something else on your mind when you being intimate with yourself? Somebody correct me on that, because that's the most disgusting thing I have ever heard.
All I can say is amen.
I mean, that's true to that.
About another person while you being intimate with your husband. And I told y'all a couple of weeks ago, we ain't inviting nobody in my bedroom. It's a no for me.
Let me go this way. Could it be, this is just me, and I'm just, you know, doing a little bit of research. Could it be that part of the issue is that when it comes time for sex, there's a laziness that exists between him and her? Because you just said something that leads me to somewhere I want to go. You just said something, Apostle Flight. You said that there shouldn't be nothing else on the mind when it's that time but your mate. But let's be truthful. You know, we've got all these things that are going on, you know, so we got work issues. We come home, we got financial issues. We found out about health issues. There's problem with the children in the school. You got this to be done around the house. And, you know, and this one has this attitude. So could it be that part of the reason that the sex sucks is because of laziness? I mean, because let's tell the truth. You've got some people, and I'm sorry to say it, you got some ladies who just lay there just so he can get off and she don't put nothing into it. And you got some men who they tired of working so hard that their liver just about to go out because they done worked so hard. They done got all sweated, the sheets all messed up, the bed all wet up and everything, and ain't nobody truly happy because it was just a performance, but it wasn't the real deal. So could it be that there's some laziness involved? Could it be there's some complacency in there? Or could it be that maybe the bodies are not being taken care of, and that's the issue? And when I speak of the body not being taken care of, I'm not talking about hygiene, because that should always be primary, although some people don't believe in it. But could it be that, you know, the person is not keeping their body in a healthy manner? They don't eat right. They don't exercise right. They don't treat their body right. You know, I mean, these are some things. Could it be that maybe you're dealing with someone who is sappy sexual? I think that's how I said. Let me make sure I say it right, because I don't want y'all to say, oh, he don't know what him talking about. No, I want you to know I know what I'm talking about. It could be sapiosexual. Could it be that, which is a behavior becoming attracted to or aroused by an intelligence and its use? Or could it be demisexual, meaning that it's a person who doesn't experience sexual attraction unless they form a strong emotional connection with someone? Could it be some of these things? Somebody talk to me.
Actually, it could be all of them.
Well, you're heavy. You know your subject matter.
I can't grab what that brother shut, because like one thing I do believe in is taking care of your body. You know, I don't know anything about some of the things that we talked about on tonight, and I'm always, because I've been in the health field, there's nothing for me to go and ask a nurse or a doctor what's going on. But I'm a firm believer as a woman, I want to know what's going on with me. I want to know what changes my body will go through, going through, and all that other kind of stuff. Because if there is an issue and I can't satisfy, and this is just me, I can't satisfy my husband, that becomes a problem for me. It's that's my problem.
That's where communication should come and to talk about.
No, that's beyond the communication. That's beyond the communication, because he's attracted to me, I'm attracted to him, but there's something going on with my body. That's communication. So well, now my issue is I have to go and find out what's going on, because I don't want my husband to step out on me because I can't perform at my best. And if the shoe was on the other foot, if it was a man, he would feel the exact same way. You can't tell me you won't, because I'm going to call you a liar. You are a liar if you say that you won't be concerned, that you can't perform at your best. You about to get it, and you about to just dive up in it, and then all of a sudden it's nothing. You're not going to feel some kind of way?
Well, here.
Ash.
That is, you are definitely right. You would be a liar if you said differently. I agree.
Listen, let's tell the truth.
We have to be mindful,
right,
into consideration that, you know, it doesn't matter how many vitamins you take. It doesn't matter how many Viagras you take. If there's something going on with your body, you need to go get checked out.
Actually, that's what I said a few minutes ago. It could be, I know with the male, like I said, it could be diabetes or several other issues that stop or slow down the blood flow to help an active erection. Now the sexual activities now are wide open, the medications, I mean, not so much a supplement. And in the GNC stores, they have a full section of supplements that are made to help with the erections and things like this. It's nothing safe about that. It just kind of reminds me of I can say this. I'm not ashamed to say this. Some time ago, I'm gonna be very honest like that. This is even when I was younger. And I thought I was performing at high velocity, high speed. And then the person that I was engaged with at the time kept moving my head back and forth around my shoulder. And I thought I was doing something. But what she was doing, she was watching the TV. I was blocking her view from the TV. And that's, she was more interested in the TV than what I was doing. Then when I realized that, of course, I just got to put my clothes on. And that's the other way, just come with the outside attraction. She was more interested in what was going on that TV behind us, which I should have had it cut off, than what was going on with us. And that was a bummer.
What? Well, you know, I like what you said, Apostle Slice, again, about going to the doctor, finding out what's changing your body.
Yeah.
What's causing you to feel, what's causing a person, not you per se, but what's causing a person to feel sluggish when it comes to that? Because I believe you. I believe that every man who lays with his wife wants every opportunity to blow her back out. And I believe that every woman who wants to be with her man wants to do everything possible to rock his world. And I think that should be the case.
But the problem is that we don't focus on these things because we don't think it's important. And the truth of the matter is that it plays, what Brother Chuck said, a very, very serious role. It is a compliment. So what now listen, I've heard a compliment that was an insult. I don't want something that would be insulting. I don't want a woman who fakes it. I don't want a woman who's like, and she ain't a bit thrilled, pleased, or nothing. Just
I'm
what?
Hollering.
No, I don't want that. What's that?
I'm hollering. What should we doing?
You heard me. Just making all that. and don't mean one bit of it. Ain't felt nothing. He ain't even. Wait. The problem is he ain't even reached. He ain't even reached that whispering eye because he couldn't get past the carpet. I mean, like goodness gracious. And then not to. Well, let me leave that alone because I just went somewhere in my
Please
thought
do,
process.
Sir.
God
don't
Almighty.
Mind.
You know, all of a sudden he got cotton burn. He got skin burns because he done had on side of her. He done had her side rib and everything, and that's all. And she was sweaty. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, y'all.
I got to go to church this morning.
Y'all pray for me. I'm sorry, but these are things that people don't pay attention to. I mean, we can talk about it. Yes. Maybe it's because somebody's not getting enough sleep. You know, I heard Reverend Billy say, you know, it could be diabetes. But, you know, that's not the other thing that causes ED. A lot of times it's just being stressed. And one thing is certain, when any person gets stressed, it shuts down their hormonal system from moving and causing certain things to happen. And so then, you know, there's no blood flow down to the pit. And certainly if there's no blood flow to the pit and she ain't got no fire in that valley, boy, ain't nothing happening. That's a terrible case.
That's
and therefore, sex sucks.
It's not nearly as bad as hygiene. I don't care who you are, what you look like, and how you sound. It's that hygiene. If you don't have consideration for that personal hygiene, that is a killer.
Absolutely.
And I dropped
the
mic.
These are things, again, that you have to focus on. I mean, one day is like, oh, shunga. Next day, like, man, I'm not feeling this. I don't want to be bothered with this. Why? Because it's broken. Is broken. Maybe it's because, watch this, because I found out, and this is real true, I found out that if a woman and a man, a husband and a wife, let me say it this way, because I don't want just anybody to do this, but if a husband and a wife has not been intimate in a period of time, soon as that thing smells that opening and goes on and she's completely lubricated, all of a sudden he's spitting everywhere. Why? And why is it in the first 30 seconds? Because it's been so long. There ain't no resistance been built up or nothing. Then on the other hand, you know, you got some women who can't do it because their walls are not, they don't have the same texture to be able to handle such penetration. There are so many things, but the problem is we're in a day and time where I found out single folk are doing what married folk should be doing, and married folk are doing what single folk should be doing. They have reversed the roles. So you got singles, right, who are having sex, and married folk who are acting like they're single. Why? Because the sex sucks. I'm sorry to say it, but it should not. It should be so sentimental. It should be so valuable. It should create ecstasy. It should be a great high. It should make you drunk with love. It should make you feel like I can't wait to do it again. Unfortunately, when it becomes predictable, when it becomes the same pattern, don't nobody want to be bothered with it.
All he know, here. What did brother Otis say? You suck on that nipple, then you suck on that nipple. Glory to God, and maybe she might go under his shadow and get some great tasting and flavors there. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's just about over. It should be more. It should be exciting. It should be stimulating. It should be the best feeling. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen because people do not understand the importance of valuing their bodies for sex, valuing their mate. And I want to say this, just because it's boring doesn't give you a right to say you got a headache or you don't feel like it or you're not up to it. Stop lying. Stop lying. Fine. I like what somebody said. Somebody said there are other ways to do things. There are other ways to do things. And you, I mean, and you don't have to use the rose, although some people have it. You don't have to use the bob, although some people have it. Listen, you got other means of making this thing pleasurable. Can we be truthful about it? You got, Lord help me, Jesus, I want to help somebody so bad. You got your fingers. You got your lips. You got your tongue, and you got your body. Make it work somehow. All right, I'm going to leave this alone because I don't got. I guess people don't got upset with me. These are issues that people are having. And with these issues.
Shopping should not be an alternative.
What was that?
Work with what you got and don't go shopping.
Yeah, I like that. Work with what you got. Don't go shopping.
Brother Tuck once said, when I was a boy, I played with toys. But when I became a man, say it one more time, bro. Say it one more time.
He said when he was a boy, he had sex. But when he became a man, he made love.
You heard
him. Exactly what I said.
And I, y'all, so, ooh, I'm going to put y'all on the altar tomorrow. I'm praying for all y'all in the line.
You can put me on the altar, okay, because I'm not married, so I'm going to tell the truth. You know, because I know when I was married, shoot, when I wanted it, I wanted it, and I wanted to make it happen, and I was going to do what I need to do to make sure it happened, because I wanted her to scream, yes, I did, so that when she got to church, the church would know she wasn't just happy with Jesus, she was happy with someone else. Oh, my, thank you. Okay, I'm sorry. Listen, you've been listening to Making Marriage Meaningful with your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr. This has been a very real, very, very realistic conversation because there are couples who are struggling in this area. Their sex life sucks because it's broken, it's boring. And so we want to give them some things that will help them to make it better. I believe one of the things that becomes necessary is learning how to become intimate. Learn how to value who you have, who you are with. And remember this, please remember this, value your spouse while you can. Because one day, hopefully not today, tomorrow, next month, next week, next year, or this decade, but one day, you're going to have to say goodbye. And you're going to say to yourself, I wish I would have done a whole lot more with my mate when I had the chance. Because the day will come when you will want to, and then you won't be able to. I'm trying to tell somebody, fix your sex life. Do what you have to do to fix it without including another party. Please
Amen.
Hear me.
That's a mighty word.
Fix it. Don't include another party because then you create other issues. And then somebody ends up in the morgue for the wrong reason.
All right.
I'm just saying.
And
I'm just saying. I read a scripture that says that a man is to draw water from his own cistern
In other words, you don't have to go get a flow from nowhere else if you just go right where you're supposed to go. That's to your own. I'm going to leave that right there. We're going to look at some other stuff still with this scripture, if the Lord say the same, on next week. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Making Marriage Meaningful. Please remember that your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Until next time, which is next Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, we say go with God, and he will, and he will go with you. Dr. Kimmy, I need you to drop that track. Y'all have a great weekend. Until next time, we say good night. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Of God.